Would you turn in your scripture this morning to Genesis chapter 21? We're going to read one verse now, and if you'd like to keep your scripture open, we'll be looking at some others in this story. We're going to interrupt this story and just grab this one verse for right now. And the scripture says, God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Genesis 21:17. And I want you to notice the last part of this verse. God spoke from heaven through his angel. He said, What aileth thee, Hagar? What aileth thee, Hagar? Let me just put it in maybe the vernacular of the day. The question was, what's wrong, Mom? What's wrong, Mom? And that's what I want to minister on this morning. Heavenly Father, you know every heart. And I pray that you would particularly minister to our mothers this morning. God, you know the depth of their struggles and problems and difficulties and pains. And Lord, I just pray that you would let them know afresh that you hear them and you will move in their behalf. Lord, shut up our hearts to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Transcend and go beyond, Lord, everything that would hinder someone getting eternal help this morning. Help me by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. What's wrong, Mom? I had a call this week, and of course I would never divulge any privacy of names or particulars, but I had a call this week of a mother in distress over her child. You get those calls quite often, a mother in distress over a child. And of course, we know through the tragic events this week, there is a mother this Mother's Day that has been totally devastated by the loss of her child. I want you to know there is no distress like the distress of a mother over her child. I don't think there's any human emotion or pain like that of a mother over her child. I think that anxiety is rooted in the greatest of love and concern, and it's rooted in the desire of that mother for the best for her child. You see, a mother has literally invested all of her life into her child. She's given the child life. She's nourished the child with her own body. She's cared continually, nonstop, for that child. So a mother has an investment in that child like nobody else. I could at least get half the congregation to agree with the statement that a mother's job is the hardest job in the world. I like that. That was the men I heard. A mother's job, you know, she not only mothers her children, she mothers her husband. She not only picks up the clothes and washes and cleans and cooks and listens to her children, she picks up the clothes and cooks and washes and listens to her husband. That's another message. We men are big babies. But with all of a mom's hard work, I truly believe the greatest burden in her life comes from the problems and the needs of her children. You know, at first when the children are young, those needs are earaches and tummy aches and toothaches. Child gets a little older and it's homework and bullies at school. Child gets in the teen years and the problems and the needs are heartaches over a lost love and wrong choices and wrong friends. Child gets a little older and it's the choice of their mate, the choice of their career. They're having children. I mean, mothers carry a great burden for the problems and needs of her children. I know this is true even from a father's perspective, but children never get so old that their problems and needs don't still trouble mom. Never. You can have a 90-year-old mother and her daughter is 72 and mom's still concerned about daughter. Isn't that right? That's the way it is. You never get over that. But with all of the concerns and all of the problems and all of the troubles, the greatest concern of a Christian mother is when her child is not doing well spiritually, when her child does not know the Lord, when her child has not accepted the gift of Christ as his or her salvation. Why is that the biggest need? Because that has eternal ramifications. It's bad when your child loses their job, but when your child loses their soul, I think the greatest heartache for a Christian mother is that child that knows about Christ but has turned from living for Christ. That's hard. That's tough. You know, in the advent of a family and with the children, as a rule, it's mom that does the asking. Mom is asking the children. Mom is asking dad, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Have you ever stopped and asked who's asking mom how she's doing? Who's asking mom what's wrong? Well, we may be slack on that as husbands, but I'll tell you, there is somebody this morning who is asking that, and that is God. And as certainly as he asked Hagar at one point, what's wrong, Hagar? What's wrong, Mom? I believe this morning to our mothers, amen, God wants you to know that he's asking of you, what is wrong? What is troubling you? Amen, aren't you glad he cares to that depth to bother to ask? You see, this is a particular story, and in it we see that mom is alienated. Mom is alienated. In verse 14, it said, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and he gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. You know, Hagar was a mother, and that always has great stress and burden and care. But she was also the mother of a teenager. Wonderful. Teenagers are wonderful. But they add concern. You see, if you read the story carefully and do the math, Ishmael, Hagar's son, was from 14 to 17 years old at this time. So whatever Hagar is facing, she's facing it with her teenage son who's facing the same thing. What particular is she facing? Well, without giving too many details of the story, Hagar had been the victim of Abraham's wife Sarah's schemes. God had promised Sarah and Abraham a child, and Sarah got tired of waiting. She said, I'm getting too old for this, and so let's accept this pagan practice of the time, and let's send my servant girl into a relationship with my husband and let them have a child. And what she was doing, she was getting ahead of God instead of letting God work things out and God do what he said he would do. She was trying to make it happen. And at first, all went well. Hagar has a child, Ishmael, and that's great. But God said, that's not the child I was talking about. Sarah, you're going to have a child. So Sarah had a child, Isaac. And immediately, there's jealousies, there's envy and strife between Sarah and Hagar. Amen. All of a sudden, Sarah doesn't want this other child around, this Ishmael. And so the Bible says there was strife that arose. And it got to the point that one day, Sarah told her husband, Abraham, you've got to get rid of those two. Get rid of Hagar. Get rid of Ishmael. I don't want them around. I don't want them in the tent. I don't want them at the table. Get rid of them. And so literally, though he did not want to, Abraham had to evict Hagar. Get her out of the area. Get her out of the tent. So think what is happening from Hagar's point of view. She's lost her husband. She's lost her home. She's lost her means of support. She's lost her friends. She's lost everything that is familiar. And she She sent out with nowhere to go. She had Ishmael, her child, with her, but that only increased the danger and the difficulty. Ousted and put out, and loss of all support financially in food. I mean, it's an awful situation. This is not always literally true, but often it feels that way to mom. Mom feels like she's facing a desert land with no support, no help, no family, no friends. And Hagar was literally facing such a tremendous difficulty, and she was facing it with her child alone, alone, alone. You see, the burden of a mother is tremendous in the best of circumstances. With a supporting husband, with a good job and a good home that's paid for. In the best of situations, a mother has a tremendous burden. But it's far greater when you're in Hagar's position and there is no providing and supporting husband. And mom's got to do it all. Mom has to work. Mom has to take care of the children. Mom does all the discipline. And I have great respect for those mothers that find themselves in that position. But in spite of the difficulty, they have determined, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to serve Him not just for myself, but I am serving Him diligently because I want my child to spend eternity with Him. Oh, what a load! And the Bible says that Hagar went out, she departed, and she wandered in the wilderness. She wandered because she didn't have anywhere to go. She didn't know where to go. She was alone. Moms, you may not want to admit it, but I think that many times many mothers feel all alone, and they feel like they're wandering through child raising. They don't know where to go and what to do. I'm talking about even those moms with a supporting husband. They feel so alone, especially with young kids. Moms shut up in the house all day with the young kids. Amen. She faces the problems of the day, and sometimes it's not just child rearing, but mom feels alone in her sorrow, alone in her concerns. And that's where Hagar was. She was alienated, wandering alone. Oh, we're going to get there, though. She was wandering alone, but God knew where she was at. When she couldn't find help, help found her. Hallelujah. Secondly, mom is abject. She's at the end. She's lost everything. I already told you she lost her home, but look in verse 15. Abraham had sent her out with some supplies of bread and water, but it says, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she did cast the child under one of the shrubs. Some have supposed here, they get this confused with the earlier event, and suppose that Ishmael's still a baby. He wasn't. He was a teenager. It said she cast him because in the wilderness, when you run out of water, it affects teenagers a lot more quickly than adults. Their metabolism is a lot faster, and they deplete themselves of moisture, and so the picture is not that she had a baby that she threw under the shrubs there. The picture is that Ishmael was already dehydrated and fainting and swooning and stumbling and weak, and so she was leading him towards the shrubs, and as he began to fall so he wouldn't fall out in the sun, she directed him and threw him under the shade of the shrub there. I mean, that is a terrible situation, seeing your child dehydrated, no IVs, you know, fainting, no hospital bed to lie on. In other words, Ishmael was on his way to dying. Why? Because the resources were gone. Her resources were gone. The water was spent in the bottle. Even her resources gone by every means of looking at it. Her child is dying. I want to ask you, moms, have you ever felt like all the water from the bottle was gone? Have you ever felt like all the joy was gone, all the peace was gone, all the resource was gone, all the support was gone, all the help? I'm telling you, the bottle had drained dry. Amen. And her child was dying. I think many times mom gets to the place that she feels like she's come to the end of her resources. Amen. That's a desperate situation, I'm sure, mom, to feel like your bottle is empty. and you have no way to help your child. She had not one drop of water to give to Ishmael. And it's bad to say, and I'm not trying to paint a dark picture. I'm going to turn this in a moment to the help from God. But that's an awful place to be as mother and father when your child is in desperate need, but your bottle is empty. You don't feel like you have a thing to give them and to help them. But not only was mom alienated and abject, mom is answered. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. She went, sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, about 150 feet there. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. I mean, it'd be bad enough she's sitting in a church with people all around her weeping. But she's out there in the wilderness, nobody around. Her child is dying, and she lifted up her voice and she wept. She's fully and rightfully expecting the worst. She's expecting any moment for Ishmael to die. And she began to weep as she watched. You know, it's a painful thing for mom to be absolutely helpless and to watch her child perishing and have no means of meeting his need. But as she wept and lifted up her voice, verse 17, God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now there's a message here that God heard the voice of the lad, and some people say that's because he really wasn't concerned about Hagar. But he didn't ask the lad how he was doing. He asked mom, how are you doing? It was that the lad was the source of mom's trouble. That's why he heard the voice of the lad. And notice what he said. He said, I hear the voice of the lad where he is. He's under the shrub. He's out of sight, but I still hear him. I still know where he's at. Hallelujah. You know, mom, you ought to start right there. I mean, it's a great comfort, and that's the message this morning, for you to know that God hears you, but God hears your children too. God knows where your children are this morning. Amen. I mean, Ishmael might have been passed out, not even knowing the shape that he was in, moaning and not even hearing himself moan. And your children may not even know the shape they're in. But God knows where they're at. Mom, Hagar, what aileth thee? God heard the cry of the child, but he talked to the mother. Doesn't he often do that? He hears the cry of the child, but he talks to the mother. And he said, mom, what's wrong? Mom's concerned, but God's concerned for mom. Mom's concerned about her child. God's concerned about mom. And God heard them both. I want to tell you, we ought to take great comfort this morning to know that God, he hears. Oh, hallelujah. Mom, nobody else heard what you prayed this week in the privacy of your home and bedroom, but God heard it. Hagar was out there. Abraham didn't hear. Sarah didn't hear. The servants didn't hear. No human, as far as we can tell, not one human in all of human existence at that moment heard that child in desperate need and heard Hagar cry and weep. But God heard when nobody else can hear. Hagar's concerned because she knows her child, but God knows the mother of the child. Hallelujah. Mom, what's wrong? I want to point this out before we move on. You got to understand something. This isn't based on our deserving God's interest and help. Let me tell you why. Ishmael was born to Hagar in a manner that might have been acceptable to that society, but it was not God's will for the family. God's will was one wife, not two. Ishmael was born in circumstances the society might have said it was okay, but God said, that's not my will for your family. What I'm trying to say is Ishmael was born, this child was born in a way that went against and was contrary to the will and the plan and the desire of God. But even in spite of that, even in spite of Ishmael being conceived and born outside of the plan of God, God still shows concern for him. Hallelujah. I'm talking about grace right now. We ought to be shouting. Not only that, it gets worse. Ishmael had done wrong. 14-year-old teenager that knew it all. He exacerbated the tensions of that home because the Bible said he mocked Isaac the baby. He's made fun of him. I don't know what he said. He might have said, look at that baby. Isn't that the ugliest thing? And he was mocked. I mean, Ishmael had done wrong. And yet even having done wrong, and even, listen, let's put it in God's perspective. Ishmael had mocked the promised seed, Isaac. Ishmael had mocked God's will and plan for Abraham. And yet in spite of that, God is still ready to help Ishmael and Hagar. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I was dealing with a situation recently, and I told my wife first, I said, you know what? There are no perfect people to help. Boy, that was deep. Let me say it again. There are no perfect people to help. You know, sometimes we get ready to help people and say, oh, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to help them or not because they shouldn't have done this and they shouldn't have done that. And you know, I was going to get their flat tire fixed, but I saw them eating out the other night. They should have used that money to buy new tires. I mean, you can find a reason not to help anybody because there's no perfect people to help. God knew that a long time ago. He knew there were no perfect people to help. But aren't you glad he helped us anyway? Oh, come on. How many knows you weren't perfect when God began helping you? If we were perfect, we'd need no help. That's the very reason we need help, is we're not perfect. And I want to say this, moms, I'm not trying to be cruel, but as good a mom as you are, you're not perfect. Now, husband, you tell her she is. And don't point out why you think she ain't. But we're talking humanity here. But here, that's just the thing about this story. You don't have to be a perfect mother, number one, to be a caring mother. And number two, you don't have to be a perfect mother to be heard by God. He who hears the lonely cry of the widow, he who hears the hungry cry of the orphan, he that hears the painful cry of the betrayed, he who hears the hopeless cry of the poor, he that hears the cry of the sinner, he is the same one that hears the cry of the heart of mom at the end of her resources, her bottle empty, her child dying. God hears her cry. And he says, what's wrong, mom? And then mom is assured. Verse 18, God speaks to his messenger, arise, lift up the child, hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. I want you to notice, and I know I'm speaking allegorical here, but if you got a child, especially an adult child in need, mom, the first thing God would say to you is keep lifting up that child in prayer. Keep lifting up that child to the throne of God. And then he said, hold him. Amen. Keep a hold on him. Amen. Keep a hold in your communications. Keep a hold with your love and your messages. Keep a hold. And why did God say that? He said, for I will make him a great nation. It looked hopeless for the child, but God told the mom, I've got plans for your child. Amen. You see your child in the hopeless situation. You may see your child in their lost situation today. But God is telling you, mom, what's wrong? You got to understand something, mom. I've got a plan for your child. Hallelujah. When you come to the end of your resources, God still got a plan. God was assuring mom. God knows how to tell you and let you know, mom, that the end is not going to happen because God's at work and there's hope. Nothing had at that moment changed in the circumstances, and it may not change in your circumstances, but it's enough to hear God say, mom, I know your need, and everything's going to be all right. I took that phone call this week, and again, I'm revealing nothing to reveal anything except the gist here. But I just felt, you want to listen to the Spirit when you're talking to folk. I just felt compelled in my heart. I said, this is bad, but you're going to make it, Mom. Hallelujah. That's what God said to Hagar. This is bad. It looks bad. But Mom, you're going to make it. And when I said that on the phone, the response was, I needed to hear that. Aren't you glad not only does God hear us, He knows what we need to hear. Mom, God not only hears you, He knows what you need to hear. Oh, hallelujah. Last of all, Mom is assisted. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water. The bottle that had been empty, there's a means of filling it. And she gave the lad drink. In other words, God showed Hagar the means of refreshing both herself, reviving her child. I know there's been a lot of speculation about this well, what it was, Was it the fact that it had been there all along, but because of her tears and pain and her condition, she didn't see it, and God just opened her eyes and said, look, you've been missing something. Look, you should have seen it, but you didn't through your tears. There's a well. Was it that? Was it that God gave her directions and said, see that hill over there on the other side of the hill is a well? God opened her eyes to that. Or was it that God miraculously put a well in the wilderness where there had been no well? I mean Hagar had been looking over there just moments before, and there's no oasis, there's no well, but all of a sudden God put a well in her wilderness. I don't know which it is. I kind of like that last one. That's just got a good feel of how God does things. But the point is, amen, when there was no water, God provided a well. When she was at the end of her resources, God came to her assistance. Amen. I want to tell you, Mom, this morning, you may be like Hagar. You may have emptied your bottle, but if you'll hold on, you'll discover something. When your bottle's empty, God will give you a well. Hallelujah. I said, when your bottle's empty, and that goes for all of us, when your bottle's empty, God will give you a well. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. So, Mom, God has heard you. Keep on going. He's going to assist you. He's going to refresh you. And in your concern, Mom, for your children in that wilderness, God is able to put a well. I think He wants to do it this morning for some mom. Put a well in your life. Would you come, music? I don't know if you've ever seen the nature scene of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of penguins. Moms with new chicks. Mom goes out to the ocean, catches her food, inwardly prepares it for her chicks, comes back to shore, and waddles right up to her chick. How many's ever thought about it? Now, I don't know how things look to a penguin, but to me, they all look alike. Right? I mean, she'll go right to it. And I am told that's because it sounds all alike to us, but she can tell the difference in the cry of her chick. We should marvel. I mean, it could be a nursery, or it could be a gathering of kids, 30 or 40 kids. They're all hollering. They're all yelling. But Mom can pick out the cry of her kid every time. Isn't that right? Now, that's a wonderful thing. Mom can pick out and hear the cry of the child. But God can pick out and hear the cry of Mom. I tell you, the first cry that God would love to hear and love to answer for Mom is the cry where mom cries out to God and says, God, save me. I want to spend eternity with you. And I want to be a mother that can lead her children to know you and to serve you. Let's stand across the building. Would you? Let's take a time to let the word of God speak to us. Mom, let's begin to pray across this building. Mom, I want you to believe. I don't know how troubled your heart is, but Mom, I want you to believe that God hears your heart. He hears your cry. Come on, let's pray all across this building right here this morning. Let's begin to cry out to God. And I want you to know, Mom, you're distressed. You're upset about it. You're burdened by it. But God hears your cry. Would you call out to him right now? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I want to give an altar call this morning. Church, pray that something eternal would take place right here. It goes far beyond man's words, something that's the Holy Spirit. And you're a mom here and you're not serving the Lord. Maybe you've served him in the past and you've been away from him. And you realize this morning, concern not only for your soul, but in concern for your children, you realize you need Christ in your life. You need a Savior. If you're here, Mom, and you need Christ in your life, I want to invite you to come. Don't hesitate. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. I want you to come right now to this altar, and I want you to cry out to God, God, save me. God, change me. And I'm telling you something. God will hear that cry. That's right. Are there others? Would you some come help pray right here? Are there others? You're here this morning. You're a mom. You know. I mean, you're just being honest with yourself. You know you're not serving Christ. You know about him. You know you're not serving him. I want to invite you to come right now, and he'll hear that cry, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Mom, if you'll cry out and say, I need you, Jesus. It's not just that my bottle is empty. My heart is empty. I have no hope. I have no peace. Are you here, Mom? Okay, moms, this is a special day, and usually I just have you come up and pray. Stand and pray. We pray for you. But this morning I want to give this. Amen. We're not talking salvation right now. I don't know what the need is. But Mom, your heart is distressed. You know what Hagar must have felt like when her child needed a drink and her bottle was empty. Mom, you're distressed about something this morning. I want to invite you to come right now and kneel and call out to God and believe that God hears you as you pray. Amen. Others, would you come? Come ahead, moms. Your heart is heavy. You've got a need in your life. Would you begin to call out to God as these that are coming? Make sure the folks come and pray with these. And I want you to believe something. Come as Hagar. Come, just confess, God, my bottle is empty. My bottle is empty. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you. And I want you to believe something, Mom. God hears your cry. God hears your call. Amen. Amen. Every woman here, somebody pray with them this morning. Hallelujah. Other moms, you're here. Maybe your child is without God, lost, far out. You've been almost to the point you think there's no hope. God would say, you just don't understand something. You don't know the plans I have for your child. Your bottle's empty, but I'm going to give you a well this morning. Mom, are you here? You feel like your bottle's empty. Maybe your husband doesn't serve the Lord. You don't have that help. You don't have that resource. I want you to know God is able to give you a well. Hallelujah. I want as many will come in and gather around these. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Men, you can come and find a place to pray as well. But let's call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, he is able. When your well, when your bottle is empty, he'll give you a well. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Believe him this morning. Believe him this morning. He hears you. Believe him this morning. He hears you. Hallelujah. That's it. Go ahead and call out to him, Mom. Call out to him. Oh, hallelujah. Call out to him, Mom. He hears you. Call out to him. Hallelujah. He hears you, Mom. He knows my name. Oh, let God do an eternal work. Open up your eyes, see there's a well. Open up your eyes, see that there's a well. Oh, call out to me, Mom. He hears you, Mom. He hears you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Maybe you're a child here without God this morning. Answer Mom's prayer. Come to this altar and say, Lord, I need salvation.
Before I breathe my first breath, my life was in His hands. God,
oh, Jesus. Oh, He hears you, Mom. Mom, what's wrong? Mom, what's wrong?
He knows my name.
That's God speaking. That's not just me. That's God. Mom, what's wrong? Mom, what's wrong?
Before I breathe my first breath, my life was in His hands. God has a plan.
Pour out your heart to God. Tell Him your bottle's empty. Tell Him that you're at the end of your resources. You may not see the plan, but God has one. You may not see the plan God has for your child. God has a plan for your child. You don't see it, but He sees it. Serve Him. That plan will come to pass. Serve Him.
God has a plan.
Come on, let's continue to seek the Lord together.
Mom,
let Him show you the well this morning. Mom, let Him show you the well. Hallelujah. If any person thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If any person thirst, let him come unto me and drink. God has a well. Your bottle's empty, but God has a well. Hallelujah.
Before I breathe my first breath, my life was in His hands. God has a plan.
Oh, God has a plan.
For me.
Oh, God has a plan.
He knows my name. He sees my heart. He knows each step I take. He knows my deepest thought.
Oh, He knows. Mom, what's
Before
wrong?
I breathed my first breath, my life was in His hands. God has a plan for me. He knows your name. He sees your heart. He knows each step you take. He knows your deepest thoughts. Before you breathe your first breath, your life was in His hands. God has a plan for you. Before I breathe my first breath, my life was in.